So you've heard a lot of ideas here about what's going on in the economic and political context and what needs to happen in terms of mobilization and talking to governments and getting some policy discussions happening. What are you seeing in your own pension plans that is connected to this? How is this playing out? Another question is, what do you need in your job as trustees and committee members so that you can deal with these things that are going on? And a third question is, how can you help QP or help the labor movement in your role as trustees and pension committee members to deal with these trends that we're seeing, these economic political trends? So we'll use my mic as the question, Mike.
So it's JC from the multi-sector pension plan. It seems to me that any progressions we're going to have is going to have to be in relation with our union density. I just learned recently from the Labor College, I have to plug that in because Joel is here, that we're not losing members when it comes to our public sectors. We're not gaining members in the private sector. So if we want to build or increase or flex our muscles, it's going to have to be directed at the private sector while ensuring that we're not losing ground in the public sector as well. I just heard conversations that our federal government is considering a battle with our public servants in the next month, so it's... let's hope we don't lose ground there as well. But I think if we want to increase our capacity to control our pension investments and our funds, it's going to have to be directed more at the private sector. Now, that said, isn't the solution more towards multiple employers' plans that assumes full responsibilities? Employers in the private sector are afraid of pension funds because of the financial liabilities. I think that we have not put enough energy into multiple employer plans. We have the example from BC, our sister in BC, a multiple employer in the municipalities in the, I was going to say industry, but it's almost run like a business. But we also have this example of us, the MSPP, which is a joint venture between SEIU and QP. How come we don't have more of this? Why aren't we putting more energies there? And then control our social responsible investments. I was shocked to learn just a couple of weeks ago that Cadillac Fairview is owned by the teachers. And there's a strike downtown Toronto from the cleaners of one of the malls that is owned by Cadillac Fairview. And in their SIP and P, they completely avoid their social responsibility when it comes to union activism and supporting strikers and decent wages and so on. So we are part of the problem as well, because a lot of our pension funds are not addressing that issue.
Hello? Yeah, just a question I hear to Toby and Paul. As an economist and the rebound in the market, and which affects our pension plans, we're hearing, I'm just wondering how much of the stimulus package had to do with the rebound, what you foresee in the future, as Paul has mentioned, March 4th when they come out with the federal budget, that we're going to be looking at deficits. So I'm hearing two things. So that's my question.
One of the things I'm seeing in terms of the pushback, and part of when I noticed the headline this morning about from the Catherine Swifts and CFIBs of the world, how can we, for example, have a campaign that not only includes our members, but also on PEI? I know there's a large number of workers who don't have access to any, you know, pension plans. And so employers are attacking defined benefits, you know, and saying we might threaten, you know, defined contributions. But at the same time, how do we mobilize to get people saying we're supporting all workers to have decent retirement incomes? And similar to what happened during the Medicare debate or healthcare debate, I know we had employers, like large employers, like automakers write letters in support of Medicare because it made them more efficient. So how can we actually have arguments to get businesses on side and certainly get away from the Catherine Swifts of speaking for, you know, smaller business, because as we know in many things, they don't speak for small business. They just make, they have their own agenda. So I think that's, what are our challenges there and what can we do to do that?
Kirby Benning, Regina Civic Plan. I think we have an opportunity here to get those employers who are attacking our plans, our DB plans, as a an ally in CPP reform. From the arguments you're talking about, and that I think I understand about, basically you're increasing YMP, right? So that reduces their liabilities within the plan if you double CPP, right? You're increasing the amount that's covered. So I think there's an opportunity to get another ally in the whole debate about expanding CPP coverage, because they do want to reduce their liabilities that they have within the plans, and if they can transfer those liabilities to CPP, I think they might buy into it. I know that's something we're going to look at, or I'm going to advance at our table there, because I think they will buy into that. I know they are buying into as a multi-employer government plan. They want exemption from solvency relief. So that's, you know, I think that can tie into there as well.
I'd like to echo a couple of things I heard from both JC and others. The importance of, I think, protecting and expanding defined benefit plans is very, very important. I have a fear that if we improve CPP, and I don't mean this in a wrong way, because I totally believe that we need to improve CPP, but the trade-off to do that might be that Bay Street and all the economists or all the investment banks will say, okay, well, we'll let you have CPP, but give us the rest. And that's, you know, and so we'd see defined benefit plans disappear, and we'd have CPP and RRSPs. So, you know, that would be the really bad. In that we'd lose all our gains. We'd have a good social system in place for all seniors, but we wouldn't have much else. We'd lose whatever we gained over the years. So I think we need to, as you've said, is build on the opportunity to push how important, how economical defined benefit plans are, and not give in to any pressure. And you're bound to get pressure from Bay Street and other places to relinquish something else. If you're going to let the government take cover 50% of people's wages for retirement, they're going to be looking for something else to fill their pockets. And so we have to be very careful that we don't give in to that. So it has to be twofold. It's, yes, we need a good Canada Pension Plan, OAS and GIS improved, but we also have to protect the gains we've made and tell people, convince people that this is the way to go. And finally, I've said this before too, you know, to the rest of the world, we can say, look what we have here, a defined benefit plan. So if we had a lot of defined benefit plans, we would have seniors that could live comfortably. And, you know, that's, you know, if you want a measure of how people see your country, when they look at your seniors and they see your seniors living in poverty, they know what they're dealing with, and it's not a nice place. So, you know, the only way to protect against that, I think, is defined benefit plans.
Kirby just wants to make one correction. Is that okay?
I just want to say I misstated. Below YMP, you're doubling the amount that's covered below YMP, not doubling YMP.
Lorna Glasser, Regina Civic Plan. My comment is based on the political avenue that you were talking about. And I've been really distressed lately listening to the news, you know, North American-wide, about the kind of vicious, vitriolic attacks on any type of progressive policy that's put forward by any government. And from my perspective, I'm not seeing a lot of counteraction. And that's what I would like to see come forward. I'm not sure how to organize that or who's responsible. But it just feels like it's sucking the air out of the room as soon as they put forward these attacks. And it's so repeated and consistent that they are making the public believe it. And I really feel like as a labor movement or any concerned citizen who wants progressive legislation, that we really need to step forward and be out there in the media where people can hear the opposing arguments and be supported by facts. Like, we have lots of facts presented to us here today that I'm sure the general public would love to know about.
Just an observation, I guess, on a little bit of a different tact. Out in BC anyway, and at my workplace, I don't see the same rise in prominence of the pension issue amongst our members and amongst others in the workforce as I do in the newspapers. And Joel talked about education. It may not be in time for May, but I think we have to renew and make a concerted effort around education and the importance of pension plans and the things that we espouse, defined benefits, security, portability, those sorts of things. But I don't see it high enough on the profile of many workplaces and workers, particularly amongst people who are less mature, I'll say. Because things like the ability to enroll sooner rather than later, these sorts of things are missed by a lot of people. So just wanted to make a comment and maybe hear a little bit about what we can do as an organization to curb that.
I'm with the Municipal Pension Plan of British Columbia. My comments follow much what Dave just said. I think that we really need to get out there and educate our members better about the benefits of, you know, what you're going to get at the end. You have a defined benefit plan. We need to encourage them that that is definitely the way to go. In BC, at the last round of bargaining, our social service workers got into the MPP as of April 1st of 2010. We have members in my local that said, I don't want to join MPP because MPP's in trouble. My money's going to be gone. And I'm going, no, whoa. Like, you know, we need to educate people about those benefits and be on the positive side. And Gary and I went and did an information session with our members and said, these are the benefits, this is what MPP has to offer. And a lot of their fears were put aside, but we need to do more one-on-one member education.
I'd like to follow on from what the person from BC spoke of, the relative apathy among the workers as to pensions. We've been working with our people for pretty close to, I would say, 10 years, and people's eyes still glaze over when you start to talk pensions, because it's a language that is difficult to put in simple terms that people understand very easily and quickly. Taxes or no taxes, people understand that. But when you talk about solvency, whether it's a going concern or whatever it is, their eyes just glaze over. The member said he found less interest in his membership than in the media, and I think you're right. It picks up on what somebody on the panel said. Even the right knows that something has to be done with pensions. The question is what, and I think Paul hit the nail on the head with his comment about the $600 trillion in derivatives. That's the 100-pound gorilla in the room. Eventually, it will have to be written down, and the people who will bear the brunt of that write-down are largely pension retired people. And those retired people, by the time we get our heads around doing that, are the boomers. And us boomers, and I count myself as one, we have always made this world work for us, especially sheer numbers. And no politician of any stripe wants to be on the wrong side of the boomers on an issue as big as this.
Curious, Calcomore University Pension Plan. I think a large part of the education process should be involving our young people. As I look around this room, most of us are older, but we need to involve our young people because it is their future. I mean, when we have to realize, you know, we have to teach these people, our young people, that they will spend more time in their retirement years than they will be in their teens. The second thing, perhaps we're wasting our energy in trying to change the minds of this government. You know, we're a big, powerful union. I think our resources should put towards changing this government, period.
So is there a response from here?
Well, thank you. I wish we had 4 hours to continue this discussion. There is movement happening on the selling of multi-employer pension plans as an option for the folding in of other participating employers. Ontario is just enabling that through the OMERS and teachers' pension plans. So it is the way of the future, because I think you're right. Individual employers sponsoring a defined benefit pension plan is going to be a real uphill struggle. The question on the markets, has the stimulus package, are we on a rebound, or do we still exist with overvalued markets? This is, as Toby said, a huge, huge question for all of us. I hope I'm wrong, but I believe the equity markets are significantly overvalued, and we still live in a short-term world where many of those folks are driven by performance for shareholders quarterly as opposed to long-term investment in retooling. Canadian companies have one of the lowest rates in the developed world of reinvesting in their infrastructure. And you guys all live in communities where private sector workers have been hammered, and I don't see that diminishing. A combination of the high Canadian dollar, which is good for some things, not good for others, and the lack of ownership. There's not a mine in Canada that's owned by Canadians any longer. The forestry industry is a shadow of what it used to be. And governments, employers reinvesting, retooling their plants for modernizing their production, is Canada's at the low end of that happening. And I'll just stop on the last two questions in order that they came, because I don't want to reply to every question. The others have things to say. The question of language of our labor movement, I think we've lost in the last 25 years the language discussion with the right wing. They have more access to the media. I think free trade was a brilliant move on the part of the right wing. And I think we can recapture language in this discussion. I think we have to be responsibly aggressive. By that I mean we have to be willing to duke it out with the Catherine Swifts of this world in a non-rhetorical way. I recently said in a debate with her that I'm more conservative than her. She's far more radical, and she just about fell off her chair. I'm more conservative. I think the income tax system is far too generous to employers, allowing them to extract surplus or get contribution holidays. I'm more conservative. I think we should be stooling the money away. And I think we have to be prepared to enter these discussions, because that's where we're going to win the average Canadian out there who is as apathetic as the members you describe. People don't talk about what they're going to be doing 19 years from now. Our members are living paycheck to paycheck. They will engage on this pension issue. They will fight to protect things in their collective agreements. But that's engagement once every 2 or 3 years. You know, there's big attendance at a union meeting when a strike vote's happening. Or pension contributions are going up 2%, and that's going to come off their check. But when we get in front of the members in large quantities on those questions, they're there, and we have to use those opportunities very, very responsibly. And there are allies out there. Tim and others from the municipal sector raised the question here. Some of our employers will be our allies. And, you know, our union meets with employers in large settings like the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. We need mayors and councillors who responsibly have run pension plans to support this progressive idea. Their citizens having retirement income security and staying in their homes till they're 80 or 90 and paying their property taxes is a good thing for all municipalities. So we have some allies that we need to bring into this debate, and they will not carry a QP sign at a demonstration, but they will and can become allies for us.
The last time I talked at a pension gathering was before the financial crisis, and I was I was there to talk about hedge funds and private equity, and warning, raising concerns about this area of investment. And some people were saying, "But the returns are so good, right?" And then the financial crisis came. I mean, I think some of the pension funds did fairly well. We're, as Paul pointed out, we're in the danger of getting back into that situation again. A number of other countries, like the United States, are moving forward with financial reform. There's a chance that Canada could become a little bit of a backwater on this. We could become the next Iceland on this. I've heard other members of the financial industry say, there's a great opportunity here, thanks to what Obama is doing in the United States. So a lot of that business, a lot of that speculative business can move here. That's a real problem, because there has been a massive problem, and Paul has talked about this, in Canada and across the Western world, of not investing enough in real productive capital. They've been chasing after the high speculative returns. It's made some people very wealthy, but in general, it's led to a lot of capital going into this, very little capital going into real productive investment that can keep the economy going and keep people employed. So that's a real problem that we're facing. And unfortunately, you know, the same finance minister has been able to resist any sort of calls for caps on incentives, because there are strong incentives through the tax system for that type of speculative activity, in terms of lower rates of tax on stock options and a number of different things like that. So that's a real concern. Other countries around the world are moving forward on some of this stuff. That it's happening internationally, but there's very little happening here in Canada, and that's a real frustration. So we need to. In addition to all the other fights that we're taking on, we need to take on that fight. In terms of multi-employer pension plans, great new option. I think one concern is that they should be multi-sectoral as well. What has happened throughout history, and there was a really excellent article a number of years ago by Malcolm Gladwell. Some of you might know him. He's originally from Canada. He's a very good writer for The New Yorker. He's written a number of bestsellers. But he pointed out some of the history of some pension funds, of pension planning, and he took it back to the 1950s, I think. And at that point, there was a discussion about whether we should have single business pension plans, or more regional ones. And business wanted the single business ones. Labor leaders were pushing for more regional ones. Well, what has happened since then is that a lot of the problems in a lot of industries have been, and you've seen this in the auto industry, a lot of the problems there were because of their pension obligations. Well, that happened recently in the auto industry. What happened about 20 years ago was the same thing in the steel industry. So industries go through this type of change, and the same thing probably in terms of Nortel. So you need to spread it out. And that's why public pension plans are the best. But barring that, you not only need to have multi-employer, but multi-sectoral pension plans in terms of that. Social responsibility, that's a really big issue, and we're continually fighting on that. I think other people can talk. Obviously, we need more control over the pension plans, and there's a lot of work in the States and also here in terms of trying to exert more power in terms of that. How much of the stimulus package had to do with the rebound? I think it had a lot to do with it. Not just the spending, but there was also some implicit counter-cyclical spending that takes place because governments pay more in terms of EI. But as part of the stimulus package, there was also low interest rates. I think it had a lot to do with the rebound. My real concern is what's going to happen halfway through this year and into next year, when that stimulus stuff starts to wear off, because they had it a lot just with an expiry date, but also when interest rates start to rise. And I think a lot of people, I was just reading something last night from CIBC, they said after the pop, then there's going to be a fizzle. People are expecting slower slower economic growth, and that means, and that'll translate to a lot of different things. And that's a real concern. We need to ensure that there is that governments don't cut back in terms of their spending, but also that they spend in a really smart way, and that they don't just spread it out to a lot of this. A lot of the stimulus spending has been it really hasn't been for the public sector. It's really been a lot of stimulus spending out there. It's been important in the short term, but we need to follow it up with really solid investment into our future in that way. So there is concerns that we might have a bit of a double dip. We could have a double dip in terms of the economy, but definitely it's not, I don't think it's going to continue to keep on going this way. The real issue, the real thing there is in previous recessions have actually been caused by the government. They will actually admit this behind closed doors. They raised interest rates to slow down the economy, to keep wages down. They did this. It's not conspiracy. They will admit to this, right? This one was the opposite. It was caused by the system itself. So, and interest rates, instead of being high, are at a bottom. So they have nowhere to go but up. In previous recessions, they were able to bring us out of the recession by lowering interest rates. We don't have that right now. We've got a private sector that's got massive surpluses, very high profits. I haven't been through a recession like this, in which the corporate sector has done so well. I mean, with some exceptions. So the problem is they need to invest in the economy. They've got a lot of extra money. They need to invest in the economy, while we have a household sector that's also at a high level in debt. So it's going to continue to be interesting times, and there are a lot of fights ahead. I wish we could get more publicity for them. So.